and Meat Market on Setchild Road and online at mhkmeats.com.
Welcome back to In Focus, News Radio KMAN. We're chatting here today with Ascension Via Christi Hospital President Bob Koppel, who's been kind enough to join us here on the program. And we're going to get to some other topics here. I know last week, was it, you had a chance to get to speak with Governor Kelly about some health care issues?
Yes. So actually a group of people from my health system, from Ascension Via Christi, we actually had an opportunity for an advocacy day in Topeka. So we got to meet with the governor, the leaders from the Senate, the House, just to kind of talk about a variety of healthcare topics. Quite honestly, the focus of our day was around behavioral health because there's such needs in our state for psychiatric care and not resources. And so it's just a problem for, I think, every healthcare entity in our state. But really to talk there's some really interesting stuff that other states are doing, and just to really talk about, you know, should we be trying to follow some of those same paths and trying to get care delivered to people differently.
Now, what ended up happening that day also was some hospitals closed, or at least one of them did, Horton, I think.
So, yeah, actually just it's by coincidence, we were there on last Tuesday, which is the same day that Horton closed. And that, you know, again, for us, it's a significant event in our industry because that's the third hospital that's closed in our state this year. And so Oswego, Fort Scott, and Horton now. And, I think for all of us, it's kind of – one, it's a little bit of a wake-up call. And it's, you know, just trying to rationalize or think through, so what does make sense in each of these situations? How do you try to maintain some health care in that area? You know, we're not that far from Waubenset County here in Riley County. You know, it's very close, actually. There are actually no health care providers in Waubenset County anymore. Mm-hmm. Zero. You're not even a dentist, at least that I'm aware of. And so it's like, how do you even though there's low population, how do you still make sure that there's health care for people? And I think that's, you know, that's part of the – just kind of the big question and the struggle. With Fort Scott, you know, our system actually has stepped in, and we've stood up a stand-up ED and diagnostic center in Fort Scott to make sure that there's still care there. And in that case, we're able to do that because our facility – we have a hospital in Pittsburgh that's only, you know, 30 or so miles away. And so at least there's an opportunity that's a place you could – you could do that, kind of branch out and cover Bourbon County in this case. It's just that do you have a player like that in all parts of our state who could step in? Because we actually anticipate across our state another at least probably two or three of the additional hospital facilities closing this year.
Wow.
And, it, you know, a lot of this financially driven, you know, this actually has turned out to be an interesting week in the legislature as well, with the House passing a Medicaid expansion bill. It now goes to the Senate. And, you know, I don't know that anybody says that that's the solution to some of the rural hospital issues. But I think it's part of it. Definitely at least provides a little bit of financial path and support so that, you know, because we have a lot of folks in our state who don't have the means to and don't maybe have the right employment situation to have a commercial insurance product. And so they're either self-pay or hopefully, you know, give them a chance if they qualify to get on Medicaid. And that's really the effort behind Medicaid expansion. It kind of depends on whose numbers you believe. You know, we're talking over 100,000 people.
Yeah.
And that's a lot. I mean, seriously, that's a lot of people that would be able to access health care and specifically have the resource to access behavioral health care. So that's one of we think it's important. We're waiting to see what our senators do. And we should know in the next few weeks.
Yeah. Absolutely, we should. Who knows? Maybe it could be next week as quickly as they got it through this week in the House. Let's go to another caller here. We're waiting patiently on the line. Good morning. You're on In Focus. Good morning. Go ahead.
Yes, thanks for taking the call. Twice in about 3 weeks, our family had to use the ER there, and it worked out great. The discussion was one of our family members with the doctor and the staff there was that if they had a room available, they would have had admitted to, my family member, but they were full. And we got to check in, and that seems to be a problem, that we're out of rooms for patients in the hospital. Any any forethought of the expansion up into the fourth floor there, or I don't know what's going on there, but just a thought.
So actually, I would say actually over the last 12 to 15 or so months, the problem is not specifically a patient room or a space issue. It's actually been a staffing challenge. So we, like many of the other hospitals in our part of the state, have actually either had to divert patients or what we use the term, we have bed caps. We have staff to safely take care of this many patients. If we have more than that that come in that need to be hospitalized, we actually are transferring them to another facility. And we've actually had other hospitals in our region that actually have closed units in the last 12 months because they didn't have staff. And this is, you know, either east or west of us. So it's actually a regional problem specific to Manhattan, though. I mean, that's obviously where we're concerned most. It's just how do you kind of try to draw in more staffing resources so that we can keep more beds open? So, for example, earlier this week, we were actually running at a level that would have been our original capacity for a couple of days because we had enough. Most of our clinical staff work 12-hour shifts, and so they're working 3 days a week. And so we're able to sustain that for 2 or 3 days, and then we drop back down our capacity because we now don't have the staff to keep carrying it on for the next 2 or 3 days. And so it's been kind of an up-and-down deal. We're making progress. But again, this gets back to how do you get folks to move here to work? And so that's kind of the challenge for Ascension Via Christi, is just the same it is for some of the other organizations in town who have vacancies. So we're trying to address it. Certainly regret that family members are having to be moved out of the community, but you know, sometimes that's both a space issue and also it may just be that we don't have a clinical capacity or capability to take care of something because we don't do that here, and that's why you need to go to a larger facility.
All right. Thanks for the question here. I'm curious, you know, in the challenges facing the rural hospitals and, you know, what advances in telemedicine, I know that's kind of been a thing here. How needed is that to continue?
Well, so we actually do that here in Manhattan already. We use a physician in Florida who used to live here, but he and his wife relocated for infectious disease inpatient coverage. And so we use Dr. Momon, and just a little laptop. So he's got a camera so he can see and talk to a patient. He has access to all of the lab values, et cetera. Local physicians can call and talk with him as well. And for a lot of times, it's just advice on let's go shift to this antibiotic or let's try this different regime, that sort of thing. And so I think resources like that, one, are just going to be necessary because we don't have sufficient providers in all specialties to cover everything, certainly here in Manhattan, but across the state and our country. So we're going to see more and more of that. It's been difficult to get people to adapt to that. And so you see limited kind of hubs, if you will, in our state. There's a group in Wichita that does a lot of telemedicine, a company called Free State. And so they provide some services typically to rural hospitals. KU also does that a little bit. Some of the folks in Topeka are kind of at the very beginnings of that. Actually, Fort Riley, for other military installations, does this already in a couple of specialties. I was out there yesterday for a meeting. And so, I mean, I think everybody's kind of feeling their way through that new process of, so what would be the best way to offer services like that? It's going to come, though. That's a guarantee.
Yeah. Well, I'll run out of time here. I want to make sure I get everything that you wanted to talk about here. Anything else before we let you go?
No, just certainly appreciate the opportunity to be here today. There's a lot going on in healthcare. I mean, I would just encourage, we had a leadership meeting earlier this week at the hospital, and I said, you know, we've got to be paying attention and we need to be involved. And so when our legislatures are back here, we need to talk to them about, you know, what's the solution? What's the options? You know, Medicaid expansion is one of my favorite topics, quite honestly, because it's, you know, I've always told people, if you don't like Medicaid expansion, that's fine, but what is our alternative? Because what we're doing right now doesn't work. And I think that's always the, you know, that's the challenge back to our legislative people, federal or state level. If we're not happy with what's proposed, what is our counterproposal? Because that's what we really need to get to and see what we can work on. So.
All right. I could talk to you for probably the whole hour here, but we don't have enough time. So we'll have to invite you back in another time to
sure.
come be on In Focus. So thanks for coming out.
You bet.
Great interview here. and we'll have this up on our website here at newsradiokman.com later today. Bob Koppel, again, thanks so much. That'll do it here for this segment. We'll talk with the Optimist Club next. Jim Frankie, I believe, is coming out here next, and we'll do that coming up.
The KMAN Morning Show is brought to you by M&S Plumbing, Heating, and